T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Listen, thanks for sticking around with us, Instigators. Always happy to have you take up some time of your day to talk hockey with us, listen in. And for Andrew Peters, I'm Dan Dunleavy. We've got Greg Rivet and Marty Baron, two men that the only way they can go back to school is by sitting in the parking lot and just dreaming they could be admitted into university. That's exactly where they are today. Here's a guy who's smart enough that he doesn't have to go back to school. He educates us on what's happening around the NHL daily. Darren Dreger joins us now on the line. Darren, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. Beautiful morning here in southern Ontario. Looking forward to a marathon session of hockey, even though I was the guy who drew the short straw and had to do the post-Winnipeg-Calgary hit from remote last night at 1:50 a.m. Eastern. So I'm a little wired on caffeine today, but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless.
Well, and because you bring that up, I actually want to really quickly touch on something, and just so you can put it to bed, there was a tweet sent out last night making an issue of the fact that the coaching staff for the Jets did not shake the hands of the Calgary players, and the suggestion was that there was the bad blood carried over. My first thought was, I don't think they're going to go out and shake any players' hands. The coaching staff of both teams, Darren, they did, right? They shook hands at the end of the series, and the players just did their fist bumps out on the ice, if I'm correct.
Yeah, well, that's my interpretation as well, but I don't have that absolutely rock solid nailed down. What I know is, when I look at the coaching staff of the Winnipeg Jets or any coaching staff around the National Hockey League, the one thing that this group of men does not lack is respect. And I would throw honor into the mix as well. Like, stuff happens in a play-in round or a playoff series or in any regulation game that you don't like. Paul Maurice hated the fact that he lost one of his top players, Mark Scheifele, in game one. So he made a bit of a spectacle, but that was a veteran coach trying to deflect and show his players, we're still in this. You know, yeah, we lost Laine, we lost Mark Scheifele, we lost Appleton, but we're still in this series. It's only one game. So there was some theater that was attached to the motive of Paul Maurice. But he is not a disrespectful coach, and no one on that Winnipeg Jets bench is. So I'm with you, Dan. I believe this was all driven by protocol.
Another coach that's making headways right now, Dregs. And, you know, we could talk about the teams that have lost that are out, but I like to think today is a big day with 6 elimination game in the National Hockey League. Is Mike Sullivan going with Tristan Jarry as opposed to Matt Murray to try to save their season against the Montreal Canadiens? Now, I find it's interesting that he's making the move now. I thought maybe starting Jarry at the start of the series would have been the move to go. But a best of 5, game 4, you're going to switch your goalie? What is your sense? And I know you talked to a lot of people around the league and maybe even in Pittsburgh. What's been the feeling on the performance of Matt Murray that led to the change?
Well, I think 2 of the 3 games, he was very, very good. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. I'm with you, Marty. I thought that there was a better chance that Tristan Jarry would get the start in the series. Then I saw Matt Murray in the opener of the game 1, the series, I mean, and you know, it wasn't his fault that they ended up losing to the Montreal Canadiens in the shootout. I mean, he played exceptional and then was really strong in the Pittsburgh Penguins winning game two. So there's something that Mike Sullivan obviously didn't like in Murray's game. I saw your tweet defending Matt Murray on the Jeff Petrie goal, the game winner. But I'm going to defend you a little bit because, your replies were probably 50-50. People thought that you were just waving the union card when it comes to goaltenders, and I appreciate that. But as soon as that goal was scored, I went to guys that I trust, not goalies, because I trust you. I just know you're biased.
So you went to Jeff O'Neill and Ray Ferraro, right?
No, I tell you, one of the guys I went to is Dave Poulin. And Poulin's honest, man. And I said, as nice of a shot that as that was, you know, Murray can't give up that spot, can he? And he was instant. He said, oh, no, hold on a sec. Here's why that happened. And he had a more thorough explanation of positioning than you did, which kind of surprised me. But he was defending Matt Murray. But I don't know, collectively, if the coaching staff in Pittsburgh and Jimmy Rutherford, the old goalie, weighed in and said, we're starting to see some cracks in his game. So let's not let this get away in game four.
Do you think it's about the question mark, though, that is in the middle of the room, too? Because not only is there a question mark in Matt Murray's head right now, but Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Jake Guentzel, they're all starting to, like, think, like, well, who's the goalie and who should be our goalie? And they wanted to squash that right away and say, you know what, let's forget about it. Let's just go with Jari.
Maybe, but, I mean, we saw it last night, too, didn't we? In terms of you know, how the Columbus Blue Jackets responded to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, you know, coaches will use their goaltenders as fodder for motivation. Now, it's old school to do it in-game. Sometimes you have to do it just through necessity. It's pretty obvious that you're trying to get your team sparked, and one of the ways that you do that is by yanking your goalie when things are going tough. But I don't know. I think they, again, not dissimilar to what Dave Tippett did in starting the series with Edmonton and Chicago, throwing Mike Smith in there. Maybe this is Sullivan and Rutherford kind of playing a hunch a little bit, recognizing the history of Matt Murray, his resume, the cups they've won with Matt Murray, and going, look, we owe it to this guy to give him a crack. You know, let's see if he's hungry enough to stand on his lid, get through this series, and then we can reassess moving forward. But I'm sure what we're going to get, regardless of the outcome of this game, is we feel like we've got two great goalies in Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry, and we just felt like the team needed a little bit of a different look moving forward. I'm assuming that's what we're going to get out of Sullivan moving forward if they can push through.
Dregs, one of the series that I've enjoyed watching the most, it's, I don't know what it is, but there's just something about watching the Blue Jackets play in the playoffs and what they did to Tampa Bay last year. Now you're looking at them playing so well against the Toronto Maple Leafs. My question to you is, what's the temperature like in Toronto right now? Is there anybody in some hot water there if they do lose this series?
No, like not from a coaching perspective or from a management standpoint. You know, they're committed to Kyle and they're committed to Sheldon. I think Sheldon Keefe is a very good coach, and I think he's going to be an excellent long-term NHL coach. But he's also staring into the eyes of a two-time Jack Adams winner in John Tortorella. And this guy knows how to push buttons and motivate his team and always has been able to do that. So I'm sure that Sheldon, to some degree, is being a little bit schooled in the process, but that's fine. That's all part of it. And no different than the players. I mean, the Columbus Blue Jackets approach is pretty predictable, isn't it? I mean, the way they play, they play. They play hard. They've got one gear. And when they're not stuck on that gear, then, you know, they're reminded by their head coach that, hold on a sec here, boys. This is the way we need to play. And he doesn't say it as nicely as I did, just did, clearly. But when Toronto was up 3-0, even though, you know, the Leafs didn't look great, as Sheldon alluded to after the game, I still felt, I don't know that you know, Columbus is going to be able to get a goal here. And then they score to make 3-1 in the second period, and your sense changes. Instantly, you're like, uh-oh, you know, now the Leafs are going to face some adversity, and let's see how they do. And that was a big question mark coming in. So I don't think that anybody is going to feel the heat outside of the obvious questions of, you know, why did he decide to do this? Why did he decide to do that? I think accountability is where it should be in Toronto, and that's on the roster. That's on the players.
So do you think that there might be some movement roster-wise? Like, you know, when you have $311 million-plus yeah. players and a high payroll, you know, yeah. Do they have the right ingredients in the playoffs? They haven't made the second round of the playoffs since, like, what, 2004?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an excellent point, Ribs, and it's something that they're going to have to discuss in detail at length if they're bounced by the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's not a huge upset. Columbus is a very, very good team. But I remember before the pause, both Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas openly talking about how they need to find a way to take that next step. And by taking that next step, you don't lose in the first round. You find a way to win that first round, and you hope that you challenge. And if you win the second round, you know, now you're starting to you know, kind of eliminate some of those demons that have plagued in the past. Well, if they get bounced here by the Columbus Blue Jackets, it's nothing short of enormous disappointment. That's pretty obvious. So then as a manager, you have to do a forensic study of your roster. Some of it's going to be automatic just because of the salary cap and it being flat at 81.5. I mean, Tyson Barrie is going to get paid, probably not by the Maple Leafs, but as an unrestricted free agent, he's getting paid. Same applies to Cody Ceci. But is that going to be enough? Or do the Maple Leafs have to move out some pieces? And if the answer to that is yes, and I suspect it is, you know, then I think you can look at just about anybody. Alex Kerfoot, Kasperi Kapanen. I mean, go down the list of players that could be in play.
Dregs, I asked the boys, is the league or the fan base going to be outraged if Pittsburgh, Edmonton, and Toronto were to lose in this qualifying round and had a chance at Alexis Lafreniere? Do you think there will be some general manager, owners, and members of the NHL that are going to say, this is, we thought we had hit the worst absolute scenario when the play-in team won the lottery, but this is even worse?
For sure there will be. No question about that. I mean, there was outrage as soon as the criteria was announced as to how that draft lottery was going to unfold. And we've got some fascinating storylines as we get ready for the next phase of the lottery on Monday. So if you throw the likes of Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Edmonton into that mix, I mean, of course, the NHL is going to feel the bluster. But I don't think that they really care to be. And I'm not saying they're dismissive, but there was no way that you could make it palpable for everyone. It could not be perfect, but this goes beyond imperfect for me. And then throw another wrinkle into the mix here, guys. Now, if Arizona beats Nashville, it's not going to matter because, you know, they'll be bumped. But if Arizona were to lose in that series, then the Arizona Coyotes could be eligible for first pick overall. And as I tweeted a while ago, and just to refresh our listeners' memories, you know, Commissioner Bettman is still wrestling with the pre-draft physical testing allegations that have been levied against the Arizona Coyotes. And they're supposed to face, if proven true, significant financial penalties and otherwise. So there could be another snafu that Bettman and company are going to have to deal with early next week.
So you're saying that the Coyotes this year, because of those allegations, might lose their first round pick?
Well, I don't know that, but I know losing draft picks or a significant pick is part of the realm of consideration. Now, John Chaik is no longer with the Arizona Coyotes, but to a degree, there was speculation that he might lose his job because of it, that there are other members of the Coyotes organization that could lose their job. All very speculative. But guys, like, I think we can all appreciate, because we've talked about it before here, but I get texts or you know, NHL personnel calls on a certainly a weekly basis. And that's been ongoing since this story first broke, saying, look, you know, you can't let this go. We need a conclusion to this. This is how serious the rest of the league is taking it.
Wow.
Well, the league is, and yeah, should take it seriously. And the league has done such a good job with getting everything up and running, doing things the right way. We're out of time. I wanted to ask you if you think this would be the new norm for hockey with the play-ins going in. So,
yeah,
not to be political commentator with you, but yes or no, do you think we'll have a wild card play-in going forward so this league can generate some much-needed revenue in the next 3 to 4 years while they continue, like every other business, Darren, to recover?
I think they have to. I don't think they have a choice. And one thing that the NHL does well is they learn from negatives and positives. And there's been a lot of positives in what we've seen in the hockey in this return to play, especially on the qualifying round side. So why not take advantage of it? I think it's a good idea, and I do think we will see it.
Well, I think it's a great idea to have you on the show. As always, glad that you're safe and healthy. Stay that way. From another fellow Southern Ontarian hanging out on this side of the border. Enjoy your weekend, and thanks for your time, Darren.
All right, guys. Be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.